chapter 3 and verse 20, the writing of Paul, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Our preeminent God is able to do an unprecedented work in you and through you. And this morning, for a few minutes, I want to preach on this subject, unprecedented. Unprecedented. You may be seated. God bless you. I did forget to announce this is not the right time to do it, but you can't bypass this. We had a new member this week. We're on a roll. Would you welcome Mia Anaya Lewis? Dwayne and Luz are very proud parents. And maybe we can or maybe we can't. There she is. Yeah. That's the best introductory story I could have ever created. Right there. Amen. The Holy Scriptures are filled from front to back with vivid declarations of the magnificence and the majesty of our great God. David's final public prayer, recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, provides but a taste of the descriptive praises and prayers that are found throughout the Scriptures, expressing the glory and the wonder and the honor of our great God. David's prayer went this way: "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and you reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and bless thy glorious name." Finding no need to add anything to that prayer, I simply say, amen. The Apostle Paul's prayers, included in many of his letter to the Romans and his first letter to Timothy, are a sample in the New Testament of these descriptive praises and declarations of our God. To the Romans, he would write in chapter 11, Paul would pray, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." To Timothy he would write, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. He is all-powerful. He is ever-present. He is all-knowing. He is the only living God. The full scope of his majesty, the full scope of the magnificence of God is simply indescribable. He is self-existent and preeminent over time and space and all that lies therein. the psalmist David would write in 24, or the 24th Psalm. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Isaiah would record the Lord saying, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee in the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. The greatest linguist, the most gifted orator, the most creative poet among us cannot adequately describe or portray or characterize or sing about the wonder, the glory, the honor, the power, the knowledge, the wisdom, and the love of God. Yet when our finite imaginations and our limited vocabulary fail, maybe it is his own self-description to Moses, as recorded in Exodus 3 and 14, that best summarizes our great God. When there is nothing else to say, when language fails in its capacity, God simply said to Moses, I am that I am. Our God will be who he will be. He will do what he will do. Nothing or nobody can stop him. He is preeminent over all that is in heaven and in earth. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. And so we look again today at our text. Paul's prayer his letter to the Ephesians happens to be a prayer that is a favorite of mine, and I quote and pray and ponder through it often. It is the climatic conclusion of this prayer of Paul that is inserted in the middle of the book of Ephesians, his letter to the church there. Paul prays, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And after that incredible, powerful prayer, Paul concludes, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In reality, it is impossible for me to adequately express the full meaning of the text and Paul's prayer today. God is all-powerful and preeminent in all things, and therefore he is able to do whatever he wants to do. But not only is he able to do what he wants, but he is able to do super abundantly above what we could ever dream about or desire or pray for. He is able to do super abundantly above every promise that we can claim from his word. It's not just true in how we understand it, but he is able to do super abundantly above every miracle you pray for, every breakthrough you need, every blessing you desire, your boldest and bravest dreams, your wildest and reality-shattering imagination. Our God is able to do super abundantly above the unprecedented in your life and in my life. Our God is able. And the best news is that by Paul's declaration that God is able, it is an absolute assurance that He is willing. He did not write it merely to end a song in a high note. Paul concludes his prayer and he prays that prayer that God is able, implying that if He is able, that means that is what He wants to do in your life. And so I've come this morning with a simple message of encouragement. God can and God will do an unprecedented work in you and through you for His glory according to the power that dwells in you. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. Unprecedented in your life. In his book, The Circle Maker, that many of us as a congregation read back in January, Mark Batterson beautifully illustrates the glimpses of God's preeminence that we see in Isaiah when God compares Himself for our sake to the universe. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second, which is so fast that in the time it takes for you to snap your fingers, that light circumnavigates the globe half a dozen times. That is fast. To put the speed of light and the size of the universe into perspective, our sun is 94.4 million miles away from the Earth at its furthest distance. In other words, if you were to drive to the sun today, traveling at 65 miles an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that is a crazy vacation trip. It would take you more than 163 years to get there. And yet the light that bounced off your face when you came in this morning traveled from the sun to here in only 8 minutes. So while 94.4 million miles may seem like a long distance by our earthly standards, it is our next door neighbor by galaxial measurements. The sun is the nearest star in our tiny galaxy called the Milky Way, but there are over 80 known billion galaxies in the universe. In one day, light travels 160 billion miles. In 1 year, light travels an unfathomable 5,865,696,000,000 miles, and that's just one light year. And yet, astrophysicists tell us that the known outer edge of the universe is 15.5 billion light years away. And yet, God, our God, describes the incomprehensible expanse of the universe as merely His throne. In Isaiah, God said, "The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest?" But He doesn't stop there. God uses the distance, at least for us, at least 15.5 billion light years to describe how unprecedented to us His thoughts and His ways really are. He says, and Isaiah recorded it in chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." The full scope of the majesty and the magnificence of our God. It's simply 15.5 billion light years beyond our imagination. So on your best day, when you eat the biggest bowl of Cheerios that you can find, and life is perfect, and you are dreaming like no other, on your best day, your boldest and most powerful prayers fall 15.5 billion light years short of what God is able to do on your behalf. That is why, with audacious assurance, that Paul would declare now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So I've come this morning on August the 3rd, to remind you that your problem is not too big. Your financial struggle isn't too intimidating. Your disease is not incurable. Your emotional wounds and hurts are not too deep. Your relationships are not so dysfunctional, because God is able to do an unprecedented work in you and through you. God is able, and God is willing to do exceedingly abundantly above your biggest prayer and your greatest dream. Did not Jesus say, as Matthew would record in chapter 10, that one sparrow that hits the ground, the Father is aware, and that the very hairs of your head are all numbered? And he would say, fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than the sparrow. If God feels the incomprehensible expanse of the universe, and he created that universe, and yet God knows exactly where you're at, and he knows you down, even that every hair on your head is numbered, not just in total, but every hair is numbered by your God. He knows where you're at. Your problem is not too big. Your Red Sea is not so impossible it cannot part. Your walls of Jericho are not so strong that they cannot fall flat. Your disease is not so far gone that God cannot heal in a moment, because he's able to do an unprecedented work on your behalf. So strengthen those weak knees and square those slumped shoulders, and lift up your eyes and behold your God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Our God, our God, our God. Furthermore, I've come this morning to encourage you that your God-centered dreams are not too bold. They are not too brash. They are not too big for God. Remember, his thoughts and his purpose for you is 15.5 billion light years beyond what you could ever dream or ever imagine. In other words, if you are brave enough to dream it, God is big enough to do it. If you're brave enough to believe that God's calling is true, that this ministry can flourish, that this can happen, if you're big enough to dream it, if you're brave enough to dream it, God is able. He is big enough to do it. So don't offend God with puny prayers based on wimpy dreams. Why don't you rise up and lift up your eyes and behold who your God is? Why don't you ignore the critic? Why don't you ignore the intimidation of insecurity? Why don't you let your imagination loose for his purpose? Why don't you dream God-sized dreams for the sake of the kingdom? Because our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that worketh in us. Our God is able. Our God is willing But it is vital that you understand that His intended, unprecedented work in you and for you is according to His power dwelling in you. God is not a free slot machine. Hopefully you know nothing about that. For you to randomly stroll by and pull the handle and hope that you hit the jackpot. Paul's prayer is conditional on God abiding in you and you abiding in Him. You see, according to the writer of Hebrews, you cannot have faith in God. You cannot have faith that He is without having faith that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Without both joined together, you don't really believe that He's more than able. So if you believe that God is able and willing, and that He's able to do the unprecedented work that He has designed and wants to orchestrate in your life, you will fervently pursue after God with relentless tenacity. Because if you really believe that He's able, if it's more than a 10-second chill on your spine because you're in a tight spot this Sunday morning, if it's really in your soul and faith surges in your spirit to believe that God is able to do the unprecedented, then you will not be able to restrain yourself from pursuing after God with relentless tenacity. You will walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. If you really believe that God is able, you will diligently seek to live out the pattern established by the New Testament church, who witnessed God do an unprecedented work in their day. 3,000 conversions on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 believers shortly thereafter, ultimately turning the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? They were convinced that He was the Lord God Almighty. And they were convinced that He is able to do what He said He would do. And so they diligently pursued after God. Propelled by Christ's commission, they were fervently committed to prayer. Individually and corporately they prayed. They persistently prayed audacious, earth-rattling prayers that garnered the attention of God. And if they did it, so must you, and so must we. Eternally grateful for the saving grace of God, their lives were marked by the sacrificial generosity of their time, their finances, and their service back to God. And so must your life, and so must our lives. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they gave a bold witness everywhere they went to the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so must you, and so must we all. For we are supposed to be living witnesses of the resurrection. Because if you really believe, if you really believe that God is able to do an unprecedented work in you and through you, you will respond. Your response will be only one way, and that is to pursue after God with unprecedented purpose and conviction, in fervent prayer, with deep generosity, and in being a bold witness. Or as Paul would describe to in his letter to the Philippians, "Oh, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth into those things that are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus." Why? Because I'm convinced. I'm a wild man who's convinced that my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. And so this one thing I
I do. I pursue after Him in fervent prayer. I give myself generously to the kingdom. I serve on every hand. I'm a bold witness everywhere because I believe that He is able to do the unprecedented in me and through me. That's what AWPC 2.0 is all about. It is about positioning ourselves spiritually and organizationally for God to do an unprecedented work in us and through us as a local church family. AWPC 2.0 is not merely a cute marketing campaign to keep your interest. It's not about merely filling up a sanctuary twice every Sunday. It's not about investing into children's ministry so we can better entertain them. It's more than just dreaming about a new campus where we can all comfortably hang out on the west side of our great city. A new 2.0 U, that midweek series from Pastor John's and Brother Brad Fain, is not just about making new resolutions for a new school year or unleashing the power of positive thinking. Instead, a WPC 2.0 is about dreaming God-sized dreams individually and collectively that ignites in our hearts audacious prayers and long-term tenacity. That is what it's all about. So dream God-sized dreams for the sake of the kingdom. Wake up. Wake up, my brother. Wake up, my sister. Square your shoulders and lift up your eyes and dream for the sake of the kingdom. Dream dreams that defy your present reality. Dream dreams that scare you half to death. Dream dreams that make you doubt yourself. Dream dreams that overwhelm you by their impossibility. Dream dreams that you cannot accomplish alone. Why? Because our all-powerful and preeminent God is able and willing to do the unprecedented. So don't cut yourself short. God, help me, and God, help you to dream big and pray hard and think long for an unprecedented revival among us of prayer and generosity and service to the Lord, and an unprecedented number of people in our city experiencing a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are brave enough to dream it and pray it, He is big enough to do it. So what about an anointed children's ministry that guides and equips a new generation of heroes of the faith? What about a Hope Center downtown owned outright? What about a thriving campus not just in Hiram or Bremen, but in Smyrna and Vining, and in Marietta and East Cobb, and in Sandy Springs, and in Decatur, and in Buckhead, and in Coweta County? Hey, if you're just dreaming about your pew filling up, lift up your eyes. If you're just worried about where you're going to park, lift up your eyes. This is not about what happens on this campus. Why don't you dream big? Why don't you pray audacious? Why don't you look in the mirror and say, He's able, He's able, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. If I'm brave enough to dream it, if I'm big enough to pray it, God is able to do the unprecedented for His glory and for the sake of His kingdom. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He is more than able to do the unprecedented work in you and through you. and in us and through us. And the key that unlocks the promises and the power of God in your life is the working of the Holy Spirit in you. If you run out into this big bad world, you start claiming big dreams, you start making audacious statements, and you walk according to your carnal nature, you are in for a rude awakening. But if you walk in the Spirit, if you consecrate your life, if there's things that you've been just having a little bit of rebellion against, why there? Why that line? Why that command? Why that call to consecration? You can debate God, or you can say, I believe He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. And for the reward of the unprecedented taking place in my life, I choose to consecrate my life to Him. I choose to pursue Him fervently. I choose to walk in humble adoration and in obedience to His word. The good news is that today, you don't have to just get excited about what God's able to do. You're able to leave knowing He's able to do it in you and through you. You can leave today having experienced His Spirit filling you, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You can leave with the power of His Spirit alive so that He that is able can do the unprecedented according to His Spirit that abides in you. And if it's just been too long, life, the cares of this world, the challenges of this age have just kind of caused you to just stick your head in the sand and you're just downtrodden, then today you can lift up your eyes and you can allow the Holy Spirit to be renewed, rekindled, and restored. Allow the power of His Spirit in you to propel you and position you for the unprecedented that God has designed for your life and for His church. If you're able, let's stand this morning. The first step back to God for all of us is always repentance. And repentance is always followed by obedience and worship. And our God, who is able to do the unprecedented, is merely a step of repentance away. It is merely the refreshing of His Spirit away from having the freedom to do what He wants to do in you. So why not? Dream big. Pray hard. Think long. And let's just see what unprecedented looks like in the year of 2014 to come in the city called Atlanta from a local assembly on the west side. What can God do? And what will God do when we position ourselves and are consumed with the confidence that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all things?